Yore te Ngāti Marae. For RNZ Pacific News, I'm Mema Maile. The chair of the political arm of the West Papua Independence Movement says it is prepared to negotiate with the government of Indonesia and the West Papua Liberation Army for the safe release of New Zealand hostage Philip Mertens. In a signed statement received by RNZ Pacific, Jeffrey Bominek urges Indonesia not to launch a military operation of any kind that could further endanger the life of the New Zealand pilot. Mertens, a pilot with Susi Air, was taken hostage on February 7th after landing in the remote region of Nduya. Up until now, the West Papua Liberation Army has refused to negotiate with Indonesia, but rather demanded to engage directly with New Zealand. But West Papua Freedom Movement Chair Jeffrey Bominek says they are now seeking a peaceful resolution to the situation. Tributes are flowing in for former Prime Minister Pohiva Tu'ionatoa, who passed away over the weekend in the United States. The 71-year-old priest served as Acting Prime Minister of Tonga from 2019 to 2021. Former MP Sangster Saulala says Tu'ionatoa was supportive of the current government despite his political differences.
After the electing of the new Prime Minister in 2021, he didn't have this ill feeling towards the Prime Minister government. He still supported the government because he believes that's the only way we can have a national or economic development is working together. Despite the different view or political view, we still have to work together to build our country. And I think that's something that will be remembered by most of the politicians.
Samoa's Prime Minister says the Pacific feels its partners have fallen short of acknowledging the integrity of Pacific leadership and the creation of the Indo-Pacific strategy and initiatives such as the recently signed AUKUS Security Pact. Fia Mayor Naomi Mataafa made the statement as part of her address at the Old Parliament House in Canberra last night to Australian MPs, heads of foreign missions, diplomats and academics. When pressed for her thoughts on AUKUS, the Samoan Prime Minister stressed the lack of consultation and input from Pacific Island countries into anything to do with the Indo-Pacific strategy.
We're having to inform ourselves as best we can. But given that we occupy, you know, a very large space of one of those oceans, one might have thought that having some input from the Pacific Islands might have been a good idea as we moved into that new narrative.
Meanwhile, a former Secretary General of the Pacific Islands Forum says Pacific leaders need to sit up and pay closer attention to deals like AUKUS, the Indo-Pacific strategy and China's response to them. Dame Meg Taylor says Pacific leaders are being sidelined in major geopolitical decisions affecting their region and they need to start raising their voices for the sake of the people. Australia, the United Kingdom and the United States signed the AUKUS Pact in 2021 and as part of the deal, Australia will both buy and build nuclear-powered submarines. Australia has been at pains to reiterate the subs will not have nuclear warheads. But Dame Meg Taylor says a lot of the people in the Pacific would ask what the nuclear-powered subs will be carrying.
The debate I think that will emerge within the Pacific is, are nuclear submarines weapons? I have not thoroughly gone through the treaty in terms of some of, I think it's Article 3 that deals with this, whether the definition of nuclear subs not carrying weapons would still contravene the Treaty of Rarotonga.
In Samoa, the driver of a bus that crashed earlier this month has died in hospital from injuries he sustained. The bus the man drove flipped over and landed on its roof, leaving the driver critically injured and fighting for his life at the Tapua Tamasese Meole National Hospital. The Samoa Observer reported the unnamed driver died on Sunday night, just over a week after the incident. The MP for Va'aforoti, Ma'aupsio Sipuapue Mai, has blamed poor road conditions for the fatality and warns local authorities of more accidents if the roads are not fixed. He says the treacherous road conditions had been a major challenge for the residents for many years. Significant rainfall has caused widespread damage in the south of New Caledonia. The Yeite district received more than 500 millimetres of rain in 24 hours last week. This caused river waters to rise, houses to flood and road damage. The inhabitants of the community of Yeite have blocked the local town hall in order to force the district to help clean the area. Access to the village of Yeite will be closed 4 nights a week for the next 3 weeks. The Blue River Park also received damage to its tracks, causing it to close until further notice. The Water Authority of Fiji needs at least 800 million Fijian dollars every 5 years to maintain its assets. FBC News reports Chief Executive Amit Shanan saying this figure is according to the National Infrastructure Investment Plan. He says this does not include catering for climate resilience.
Rough rule of thumb, a $2 billion asset base requires $200 million a year kind of investment. So if you look at the National Infrastructure Investment Plan alone, there's about $0.8 billion over 5 years needed to ensure that our existing assets continue to do what they are doing.
The mother of a New Zealander believed killed while fighting in Ukraine struggled to understand why he wanted to go to the war zone. Kane Tatai's death hasn't been officially confirmed, but RNZ sources say they've been told by his unit commander. His mother, Ngairi Tatai, says she was told by her son's contacts in Ukraine and that his body has been recovered. She says she tried to stop the former Defence Force soldier from going to fight the Russian invasion, but he'd made up his mind. She says she had to accept his decision, but not to that she would never see him again. She hopes his death hasn't been in vain. In sports, six-time Super Rugby champion coach Scott Robertson will step up to the All Blacks head coach role from 2024. Robertson was considered a front-runner for the position and was a popular choice with the public. The former All Blacks says he's stoked to finally get the job and appreciates how much the All Blacks means to New Zealand.
At times it felt like an election. There's no voting boxes or anything, but we're passionate, you know. We're in behind it. It's great that people can have their thoughts and their feelings and they pick the team and they select it and they want the best for the country just like I do.
Ian Foster will remain as All Blacks coach until the end of this year's Rugby World Cup. The Fijian Drua will be without winger Eroni Sau in their Super Rugby clash against the Highlanders this weekend. FBC News reports Sau was taken off the field after head-on tackle by the Reds' Fa'au Fotuaika. Coach McBine says Sau will be out for 12 days in accordance with the World Rugby Protocol for head injuries. He says Sau will be assessed and closely monitored in the coming days. The Drua meet the Highlanders at 3:35pm on Saturday local time in Dunedin. Clint Gutherson says his winless Parramatta Eels need to stay the course and believe in what they are doing. The runners-up from last year's NRL have lost each of their first 3 games and sit second last on the table. Next up, they face the Panthers in a rematch of the 2022 final on Thursday. Eels captain Gutherson says his team has been close in all 3 losses.
We could easily be the other way around and no one really be talking about it and we're just rolling along, but that's the way footy goes. You love-hate relationship with the game and look, we've been close. We've been into it to the 80th minute in all 3 games and we've just shot ourselves in the foot too many times and you can't do that against quality teams and we've played 3 quality teams.
Gutherson says it is disappointing to be where they are, but they are the ones who can make their fortunes turn, and we wish them well with that too. And that's your news and sports headlines and stories. Go to rnzi.com.